This is Steve Heitzer, and you're listening to Everyone Needs a Spotter. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode. It's been a little bit of a while since we've all been here, but we are pretty pumped to be back behind the podcast mics with another episode of Everyone Needs a Spotter, the multifamily fitness podcast brought to you by the expert team here at RMS Fitness. Robert is already click-clacking away over there, fearless clicker himself. We're going to go ahead and just, you know, really quickly introduce everybody. As always, I am your host, Steve Heitzer, joined across the table, fearless leader himself, leading fearlessly. He's even got his fancy free advice placard up. He's going to be handing out all the free goods here today, guys. So come to Robert for all your advice needs. But how's it going, Robert?
Steve, I am officially excited that we are sitting across the desk from each other today.
Officially excited? So it was like all your other excitement was unofficial prior to today?
It was artificial.
Yes. AI, in fact.
Sir, I know it's been a while, but I have not introduced you yet to my left. But since the cat is now once again out of the bag of Dio, Steven, what it be, man? How's it going?
What's up, Steve? It's been a minute, but it's good to get back to the grassroots.
Yeah, man, it has been a minute. It's been like five, and you know, people forget how the rules go around here. You know, we got to introduce them first, but now it's good. It's good to be back. And as always, the one that you've probably seen the most, because she's out there with the content right now, helping people stay fit at 40.
100%.
Lil Flexi, big muscles, Lil Wipey, MEV, what's up?
What's going on? Yeah, I've been working on this little project. I know Robert's been begging me for months to do content for posting on LinkedIn and wasn't feeling very motivated, but now I'm trying to really hit the ground running with this. So it's been fun.
Yeah, I mean, I know I mentioned it briefly, but since, you know, we're here at the beginning and people might still be listening, go ahead and tell them about what your content's about, what you're posting.
Okay, so many, many moons ago, Robert and I started a project to try and develop at a beginner's stage our own type of content. And it was something that we called What's Up with Emily, where I just humbly went before the video camera every day, went live. Back then, it was a lot of our really close friends and family that would check in with us, and I would just talk about different foods or recipes, also do different fitness routines to get our friends motivated for working out. And since then, you know, we took a long break from that, being that we got busy, being that COVID came, being that I got really out of shape. So now I turn 40 in a few months, and I just thought, why not put myself out there vulnerable and try and do content again? But this time, like, just trying different things that I'm seeing, like we all do, on social media, different fitness tips, recipes, all of that. But trying to do it with a totally different approach by being 40.
Oh, well, you've never been 40 before, right?
Never been 40. And, yeah. Never been achy like this before. Never been as insecure as this. So I'm just putting it all out there. And it's been fun. And actually, I've really enjoyed it. And it's kind of built me up a little bit. So,
no, you know what? I feel you. It's, you know, life does in fact change. We were just sitting over there in the design office, the sales office. And Steven thought I got an email I was excited about. And he was like, oh, what was that? And I said, actually, it was a back spasm that just made me emit that sound. So, you know, we're all getting a little older around here for sure. But that's cool though, Emily. Thanks for sharing that content. I know that that's what you've been up to the past couple of days around here, you know, in addition to all your other things. But Robert, how about the past few days in Deckerland? You had some content hit the airwaves recently, right?
Not on my part, but yeah, some things have hit the airwaves. Well, this past weekend, my son got married.
Ooh.
So it's been adaptation since that's happened, right? The family has to adapt to that. And, but yeah, it's been quiet around the house. Generally, when you have a son in the building, it's loud because they, for whatever reason, must run up and down the stairs. And so it has been super quiet. But yeah, he's on his honeymoon. So the Deckers have made an adjustment there. But you had mentioned about content. you know, I'd reached out last week and did a little video about the tariffs. I don't want to get ahead of our discussion this morning, but just how it's really impacted the relationships that are out there. There's a lot of stress in the air for our fitness family. And so maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that and how that's affecting us and maybe even some of our customers.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you've also had, you know, some of your own little interview content that's been posted. We had our visitor from our friend Glenn. tried to lead you right to it, man. You can lead the horse to water, but you can't make him drink, Glenn. I'm sorry, buddy.
I told myself I was going to wait and watch that when I get a minute. But Glenn, I will definitely reach out to you about that, buddy.
Yeah, so our friend Glenn, who hosts the Tailor Made Chaos, you know, podcast, he had a chance to interview Robert, myself, Emily, and Stephen too, I believe, right? Yep. And so all that content's been dropping. So if you want to go hear more of Robert's life story, it's pretty interesting stuff. You can go check that out over there with our friend Glenn Taylor. But Stephen, because your name is not Steve, Stephen is your name.
That's right.
How you been, buddy? How's the week been?
It's been pretty good. Past couple of weeks, it's been kind of, you know, appointments here and there, dealing with board members in HOA communities and big, you know, what do you call those?
I don't know. What do you call them?
It's like a community center, but it's like for a massive community,
like a board, like a boardroom or something.
It's a, you know, a boardroom. It looked like I was in a courtroom.
Yes. You have had a lot of those projects lately where you've had to go and kind of, you know, like testify before the court before you can install your fitness equipment.
That's exactly what it felt like. I was in one yesterday. But this one was unique. You know, they had bought an old hair salon that's attached to the property so that they can expand the fitness center. And it was in bad condition. Mm. We were all sitting there and just talking about the plans that they want to do.
New business idea. He's opening up his hair salon. Get your hair did a deal. Going to be opening up next year.
But it's cool. I enjoy being a part of those meetings and giving them, you know, our insight and expertise and helping them navigate the challenges and, you know, giving them some tips of some things that they probably don't realize in the construction industry and dealing with, you know, some permits and requirements and stuff like that. So it was pretty cool to be a part of. And I enjoy, you know, I'm sure you enjoy it as well, being a part of those, like, from the ground up
type
of scenarios. It's cool to see it complete.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Yeah, that's one of the things that I enjoy most is, you know, it's up here on the sign above Robert's head there, the design, the consultation. That consultative part of what we do is probably among my more favorite parts of the process, of really getting, you know, to be in there and kind of help people avoid the pitfalls and kind of maximize what they're doing. That's really part of what I enjoy. And you've had a lot of those projects lately, so good on you, because you've been able to convince lots of people that you've got the right stuff there to get those projects done. But that's, you know, really what you know, everyone needs a spotter is all about, right? It's about sharing our expertise, sharing our understanding of the fitness equipment industry and how that can affect, you know, the goals that you're trying to meet there at the property. So that's kind of some of what we wanted to talk about today, was just that, you know, being that it's getting to be summertime, that brings about certain common changes in kind of the way fitness centers get used. It also, it brings about certain seasons for a lot of our customers as far as budget season. So I thought it would be a good time to talk about all those things. So, you know, along with the summertime, Emily, comes increased temperatures. So sometimes what happens once it gets warm outside, where do people tend to find themselves?
Well, when it gets too warm and definitely too muggy and humid, makes people not want to be outside anymore and enjoy that kind of weather. It's hard to breathe. For those who have asthma or any kind of issue like that, it's just too much. So then they bring their exercise indoors. So
yep.
It's just like the wintertime, summertime can face that challenge too.
Yeah, whenever the external conditions kind of get to a point where maybe they're not so enjoyable, you know, to be out in, that's when you're going to start noticing upticks in the activity inside your gym. You know, in the fall and spring, it's easy, you know, the mild weather for people to get out there and be outside hiking and doing things like that. In the summer, unless you're like in the pool or at the beach, it can be kind of hot outside. So a lot of times physical activity outside is limited. Now, if you have a gym at your community, you may find yourself using that more during this time of year. So if along with the increased use in fitness centers, once people start using the equipment more, you know, Stephen, what's the next thing that happens?
get repair calls. You know, things start to break down, especially if a property doesn't have regular maintenance.
Yep.
Usually midsummer is when we start getting a lot of calls, is stuff breaking down.
Yep. So while we certainly would hope that every single person listening to Everyone Needs a Spotter is, you know, a quarterly routine maintenance customer of ours that we're seeing, you know, four times a year, we know that that's not the case for every client. Some people are listening and they're not established, you know, service customers at all with us yet. If you have a property and you aren't currently having service done on your property, even if you're not ready to enroll in a maintenance program at this point in time on a quarterly basis, you know, Robert, what might be a good idea for a property to do, even, you know, kind of just as a one-time, you know, approach?
Well, we get those from time to time. I'm thinking about, I mean, you caught me here on the iPad, but one of the first emails out of the gate this morning was an email full of pictures of down equipment. Now, this particular property is on, to my knowledge, is on the Eastern Shore, which is kind of bleeds into what we're talking about, where it could be the height of their season down there. So a lot of up here, it's everyone's going on vacation. Well, where are they going? They're going to places like the Eastern Shore, and those facilities are getting higher use. And then all of a sudden they realize, I probably waited too long. Now I'm in the peak of things. And so, one of the things that I would certainly recommend anyone, hopefully before their season, but hey, if it's today, it's today. You know, do the walkthrough. I know Emily has sent out the checklist for property managers to walk the room, and some things are obvious, other things are not. But sometimes just turning the units on to make sure they turn on could be a good idea. But there's just that check. You want to walk in, not get surprised. Apparently this person did get surprised because there's about 10 photos, 10 different pieces of equipment. And that's unfortunate because they are not a contracted customer. So it is going to be like a race.
Yeah.
So I think if you want less stress in your life, if you hear this podcast, you know, head into the gym, do the simple checks. If you need the checklist, reach out to us. We'll send it to you. You could probably even find it out there on the web somewhere. We've posted it on our LinkedIn and other channels, Instagram. And so grab it, download it, walk in, either just yourself or maybe even with your maintenance supervisor or someone on site, and walk it. May take, what do you think, 10 minutes, 15 minutes? To
probably not too much.
Yeah, it won't take much of your time, but it'll definitely give you kind of an understanding of where your fitness equipment is from just a visual inspection.
Yeah, and I would say that if you have maybe a larger amount of equipment, or you just feel like for some reason it's beyond the scope of your team to look at that, even if you're not a quarterly maintenance customer, reach out to our team. You know, we're in most of the places pretty regularly, and you know, we could certainly plan to stop by, you know, make a visit, make a service, you know, call out there to kind of inspect, diagnose, and kind of let you know where your equipment stands too. So, you know, feel free to reach out in that regard, but don't wait, you know, until your season is upon you to then kind of urgently want things done, because unfortunately everyone is wanting things urgently right now. You know, the world seems to be in a more urgent state than ever, right? Everything seems to be happening. People need things more quickly than ever. And then there's things going on that make that more challenging to achieve. So, you know, another thing that obviously plays a factor in what's going on right now is the tariffs, you know, situation in the world. A lot of people were thinking about pricing as the major impact that, you know, the tariff was going to have on our industry. I'm of the personal opinion that I don't think the pricing has necessarily been like as kind of crazy as a lot of people anticipated. But I do think the supply issues that are going to be brought about by the tariff, you know, disruptions are going to be real. I think there's going to be a notable period of time where there's a shortage of things. So how could that, you know, maybe Robert or Steven, you know, as kind of guys that worked on that service side of the business for a long time, repairing equipment, how could that impact the ability to get something done quickly for a customer?
Yeah, so what, like a lot of the news articles have been hinting is, you know, when the tariff was being hinted at a possibility, there was mass buying going on to stock up the inventory. And now what's happening is when that happens, you know, if you need a particular part that's been mass purchased by other providers around the nation, then you're going to have part delays. And the same applies to even new equipment as well. But, you know, on average, we'll get parts within a week. But now we're seeing more delays, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and some are on extended back orders. So, and it's, you know, it's unfortunate. It's the ebbs and flows of business and dealing with politics and whatnot. But yeah, that's why if you know, to Robert's point, it's important to get ahead of the situation, especially if you're a seasonal fitness center, to get that one-time PM service, like you had mentioned, a month or 2 months before you try to open, you know, for the busy time.
Yeah.
To help, you know, avoid these situations that you could be under with extended back orders.
Yeah. I mean, you know when your busy seasons are, right? So it's things sneak up on us all. But since we know the situation that we're kind of in right now with the lead times and potentiality for delays, like it's really upon all of us to be more proactive to stay out in front of things, because there's not much that can be done. That the delays that are happening, or the shortages that are occurring, they're not very consistent. They're kind of like hit or miss. Some things are readily available and some things are just not, you know, so there's not really a fine point that I can put on that, other than to say, like, there's the potential for various delays in the process right now brought about by disruptions to the supply chain. So Robert, I did see that your hand was up. I hope I didn't.
No, I think you were going down the same line of thought. I think what people tend to see in situations like this, I'll just speak openly here, is seeing
one moment, sure. Just in case anyone can hear this. I can't do anything about the chainsaw in the background. I don't know if you can hear this, but someone is,
it's called a leaf blower,
cutting down a tree or blowing down a house or something outside. But yes, so if you hear it in the background, guys, it's there.
Hey, we're live. Communication. If you have a lack of communication, you feel stressed. You want an answer to something. You had mentioned when we came out of the pandemic, people had a higher tolerance for patience. Mm-hmm. You know, they were willing to wait for things. Now we're kind of a few years removed. We want to get back to pre-COVID approach to life. So now the pace is picking up. And to what Steven said, delays begin, part availability becomes an issue. But I think what I'd like to say on the podcast today is that we try very hard to let the customer know that the part is on back order. But what I think our customers might not realize is we're getting, you know, ridiculous times, like 4 to 6 weeks, couple months. I saw one status come across on a particular piece of equipment for a repair, and it was 6 months. And I don't know how, you know, a place with only two treadmills can wait 6 months. Now, we at that point start to go into like a management phase of trying to find an alternative part, but sometimes it just doesn't work out. I can't wait.
He's purposely.
I mean, if I could turn the camera, you could see him through the window. He's just here cutting this tree.
So Steve wanted to mention post-editing. Colby, you better be able to get that sound out of the background.
Oh, no. But, you know, communication has been really key to how we've tried to approach the tariff situation with our customers. We knew it was coming, and we were talking about it on the news. So we banged that drum as loud as we could, not in a scary way, just in a, hey, this is going to be a thing at some point, and if we would like to avoid the thing that it's going to be, let's do it now. And then for people that, you know, didn't make those decisions, but and now they're in a situation where they have to purchase in a now the tariffs are here type of environment. I can't speak to the way it's being done elsewhere, but I just know our approach to it has been to kind of position the tariff as a thing that we hope goes away. We're not building it into our like money making portion of our business operation. We're not using the tariff price to dictate our profit margin. You know, we're maintaining our old prior markups that we were applying prior to the tariff application happening, so that if, you know, this thing goes away, we can easily flip that switch and revert back, you know, to what would have been fair pricing. We're really committed to not letting this like reset the normal for us any more than it has to. So to the extent that anything does go back to normal, we want to go back to normal with it. We're not looking to just raise our bottom line now because of, you know, this global event, so to speak. And it's really, excuse me, it's hard to know, you know, exactly how to tell people to proceed with that, because it could be a thing that goes away. You know, we see how the news cycle happens nowadays. It could happen very quickly, or this could go on for a long time. So we just try to be as transparent about what's going on with those tariffs as we can, and provide good, you know, provide good service with that. But it has affected most manufacturers at this point. Most people have either applied some sort of surcharge, or they've just increased their price list as a result of, you know, the tariff thing. So it is here, and that'll play a role, obviously, in budgets, you know, that people are making. So like, what's kind of the season that we're in for a lot of our customers too? Like, we're talking about now, like, the maintenance and service needs they need immediately, but kind of what also happens for a lot of our clients in the summer. Emily.
It would be budget season for new cars.
No, look, I think I had too much other information before the question, I think, that made it seem like maybe that wasn't what I was talking about. But budget season, right?
Yeah.
So now you're going to be in a situation where you're trying to get your figures together for your budget for next year at a time when there are tariffs impacting pricing. So, you know, that's obviously something where we need to be transparent with people about kind of the state of things now, so that they can know what they may be looking at. But we also want to be clear about that the tariffs are here, so we can't pretend they're not. And then when you go to make that purchase, then come back and say, oh, it's 20% more. So we're trying to be very forthcoming with that information, let people know what's going on. Hopefully by the time you're ready to buy things in 2026, the tariffs are gone and you've budgeted too much, not too little, would be the anticipation. You know, for our customers at least. And then now you have some extra fun money to buy more equipment with, or invest in some other part of your property that maybe could use a little TLC too. But, you know, Robert, what are your thoughts on budgets for this year? Anything that, you know, think people should be particularly mindful of, or actions they should be taking right now?
Well, it's funny that you say it's a matter of a waiting game in determining whether what we have in place right now is going to last for a long period of time. So we were kind of talking in the gym this morning about if we had all the details in as a business owner, I could plan better. And that's kind of the same principle. We're trying to give as much information to those that we work with regarding their fitness equipment. And what I have found this year that I would probably encourage a lot of property managers is that sometimes I see budgets for, hey, we're going to replace one of these. Might want to start considering, you know, if you know you got a couple of machines on the bubble, maybe this year's the time to start thinking about replacing them. Because prices from this tariff may go down, but we know that increases have consistently been a part of this industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you know you're on the bubble for your equipment, now's the time. And we know when we assess the room, and Steven can speak on this too, but generally the strength has a longer lifespan than the cardio. The cardio is generally the one that there's no indication and it just stops working. And, you know, the days of having cardio equipment go 12, 15 years is very, very few and far between. Those who have had that opportunity to get that kind of return on investment, I certainly hat tip to you, because that is something out of the norm. We're finding, because of the demand on electronics and, you know, the motherboards and the various other things that go into the technology today, you really can't squeeze out that kind of age out of equipment. So again, if it's on the bubble, this might be the year to plan.
Yeah. And you know, you made a good point too about the replacing a single machine. We've talked about this before in other episodes, but if you have three treadmills in a room and they're all 12 to 15 years old, and then you go, okay, well, we got a little money, let's buy one new treadmill, and you replace one of your old treadmills with a new treadmill. What is likely going to happen to that new treadmill, Emily?
That treadmill is going to get used up the most, the new one.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if there's no maintenance plan along with like if it's a facility that doesn't have a maintenance plan and they just buy one new treadmill, then that one treadmill is getting used and used and used and not getting maintained. And then it's just going to wear down. It's going to break. It's going to have issues.
Yeah. It's going to be the machine that anyone uses if it's available anytime they walk in to use a treadmill. They're going to get on that unit first. And so it's going to get a disproportionate amount of use. The other ones are only going to get used if a second or third person comes into the gym. So that for that reason alone, you know, just putting one new unit into a room with very aged equipment kind of sets that piece up to immediately not thrive.
Yeah, and not only will people just want to use something that's newer, but once they have that one new machine next to the older ones, anything that you felt on that older one that you didn't feel before is now exposed.
Yeah.
And now it feels rigid. Now it feels weird. Now, you know, it's just it stands out more of not wanting to be used.
Yeah. And the Watch out. I don't even know what that was. That was a half cough, burp, sneeze, fusion. And then the cosmetic damage that like is on the older units, like it just if you have a unit, a bunch of machines in your room that all look like they're like a condition level 7, and then you take one or two of them out and put like brand new 10s in the room. Well, now those 7s kind of start looking like 5s, like because they're next to these other brand new shiny pieces of machines. Like as far as just a rating scale on the cosmetic of the equipment goes, like having those new machines next to the old machines can make the old machines look even older than they did before.
Yeah,
so it's by comparison, sometimes, you know, you can be doing a little more harm than good. So I just had this conversation with a customer yesterday who was like, I want to get like one new treadmill. And I walked in and I said, I will not do it. I refuse, because that one treadmill in this environment would get just absolutely ransacked because of the amount of use that it would receive as the only working treadmill. Steven?
I wasn't pointing to somebody.
I thought he was pointing out the window. No. I was like,
you guys are looking at that way.
That's how he raises his hand.
I had that same conversation with the board meeting I had yesterday, because I mean, they were considering replacing some equipment 1 year and then waiting 2 years or another year to replace the rest of the equipment. And I was like, well, if you're in this position where you're already renovating an entire new space, you're getting, you know, all this new flooring, new paint, new look, and then you get half of the equipment new, and then the other half still looks old and rusty. It's just it's going to look like a half done project. It just doesn't look right.
Yeah.
When you're in this position, if you can, you know, budget for an entire fitness center at that point. And the other thing too, I was cautioning the board members, is you run the risk of not having a unified look, mm-hmm. right? When you have everything new, everything's unified, but when you're in between years, you run the risk of a product being updated, and then it's not going to look similar to, you know, the consoles tend to be updated and changed every 3 to 4 years. But if you're on that fourth year, you're buying that product, and then the next year it changes, you know, you
can't match.
Have an unmatched looking fitness center.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be perpetually in that state in the fitness room. So I, you know, it's important to educate people with that aspect, because it can make a big impact in the fitness room.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you'll just end up forever, to your point, kind of chasing that process, and you'll always be a little incomplete if you do it that way. And I think so. That's why I always encourage people, to your point, like if you can do all three of your treadmills, that's kind of the thing to do. And then also to your point too, if you're keeping older equipment and you're renovating a room around older equipment, you tend to spend a lot of money on labor just moving the older equipment. Like it's not inexpensive to just move old machines around, especially if you have to take them out of a room into another location. Sometimes there's like disassembly involved. Older properties, if you're moving older equipment, they tend to have these like multi-station gyms that are very complex to assemble and put, you know, so if you have to take that apart and put it back together, well, now you're talking about a pretty large investment in just labor to just keep your old machine in the room. Like, at least kick the tires on, you know, what your provider might charge you to just take the old one out and put something new back in. You may be surprised at the net overall net gain or benefit to your project in that way, you know, just in terms of the overall final result too. But you know, those are all some things that that I've just been thinking about with budget season kind of here, things that people are kind of up against, you know, that are a little different this time of year. There's a lot of uncertainty in the world. I feel like every year, the past couple of years, people have been kind of in the same boat where it's like, what's going on out here? What should we do right now? So that's kind of, I still think, kind of the nature of the world. So we can only tell you that we'll do what we always do, which is provide you with honest, straightforward, authentic information and recommendations that we think are the best available to you at the time and help you make, you know, some pretty good decisions with that. But yeah, I mean, anything else that you guys can think of as far as budget season that people might want to think about right now? Robert, I know you had a thought about the temperatures in the room. I know we have an episode where we talk about HVAC and air quality, but in kind of in line with the summer months and the temperatures increasing outside, people coming inside, what tends to happen in the gyms?
He does this to me.
He does it to me too.
Ah.
This was on the list you sent me to talk about.
Yeah, I'd have to go back in my emails and check that out. But the BTUs in the room increase, so that means that you're because that temperature's going up, then it goes down. If you suffer any type of drastic temperature rise or cooling off because your HVAC is not keeping up with that, you know, your facility, you want to make sure that you're setting a temperature that can be maintained. And if it's not being maintained, you know, the soda can effect, if you've ever experienced that, if you put a soda in an environment and it gets really hot and then really cold, you'll notice the sweating. Well, that's kind of what happens on a treadmill or any piece of equipment that's in your facility. And that moisture then becomes a problem down the line. And every facility, at least those that I can call to mind that have ever been near a pool or have windows in the room where it gets really warm because of the sun, then again, you mentioned touchscreens, for mm-hmm. instance. You know, if you've ever been on the treadmill and you go to touch that black on the console, it's on fire. And that means those electronics are feeling that. And then if the HVAC is not consistent and then all of a sudden it cools off, then it's, those electronics feel that. And then it gets hot again. Well, again, lifespan is being diminished by that inconsistency in temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the users would appreciate a consistent temperature in the room. So hopefully you got that. It's it makes me laugh. I've been in some facilities where the only thing in the room,
I am.
I'd see these clip-on fans on treadmills, you know, and it's just like, no, that's not the answer.
We're not getting anything done here, guys. No, but that's the, you know, I think the specifically on the list was mentioned the idea that like reducing the temperature in the room during this time of year, just by a few degrees, can lower the humidity. It can lower the overall temperature. It can make it more comfortable for users in the gym. You know, if you get a handful of people, especially in some of these, I mean, to the credit of a lot of these communities, man, you all have some really, really nice fitness centers and people really enjoy using them. So when you get a lot of people in a room running, jumping, lifting, it can get real hot. It can get real humid. It can get a little funky in those gyms sometimes. Promoting good airflow is good. Keeping the temperature low enough that it's comfortable, keeping the humidity low enough that sweat can dry and it doesn't just stay eternally sweaty in your gym forever. Those are minor things that you can do that can really just raise the level and the comfortability and really have a long-term effect on the quality of your space and the experience of your residents.
Yeah, agreed.
Emily?
I'm just complaining, but I know...
You?
Yeah, me. But I know it's like, you know, people are trying to save money by not having the air conditioning going and, you know, keeping the temperature up a little bit. But even when, you know, for us, when we come in and do an install... Mm-hmm. I can't imagine working out in some of these rooms because they've got the AC, the thermostat locked off, and it's set at this ridiculous temperature that no one's going to want to work out in. If it feels cooler and more refreshing outside of that room than it does inside, there's a problem. And then there's no airflow.
You don't like 88 degree lifting sessions?
No fan, no ceiling fan, no ability to open the windows. I mean... putting in new equipment in this hot, humid room. And then I wouldn't, if I was a resident there, I wouldn't want to use it because I would be dying of heat.
Man, look. Well, guys, look, welcome to our new segment. We're going to end every episode with Tell Them How You Really Feel with Lil Wipey, who lets them know how she really feels.
And that's how I really feel.
But that's a good point, though, Emily. You know, people have to, that's a really good reminder. Like, if we're not comfortable unboxing equipment and assembling machines in your gym, your residents probably aren't comfortable using the equipment in the gym. And that's a, you know, some great free advice from Emily. No, that's great. So I think those are some really good reminders. We don't have to be too long-winded with, you know, the budget season stuff, but we just, you know, kind of wanted to talk a little bit about summer tariffs, what to expect in your gym, what to expect next year, what to expect right now, and kind of how you can balance all those things together. It's not always easy in the world that we live in today to kind of plot your course because the map seems to change periodically these days, you know, moving targets and all that. But we're doing pretty good, I think, as an industry with adapting pretty well to things. I will say, I think the fitness industry in general, I can only speak to our partners that we deal with, but I've been pretty proud of really all of our partners, how they've handled the tariff situation. Everyone's communication with us has been pretty clear. And I felt like the way all of our partners have approached the situation has been very transparent about like what they were experiencing, what they were able to do to offset things on their side, and kind of like, you know, just communicating what the real impact to us was going to be, which has then helped us to communicate the real impact to our customers. And I just think that's been kind of a nice sign to see everybody in our industry kind of not, you know, do the chicken little, the sky is falling, you know, thing. It's been kind of nice to see the more level-headed approach.
I did like that movie.
Did you?
I like that movie, yeah, a lot.
It's kind of like how I approach everything in life, so I probably would like it too.
Remember that movie?
I've never seen it.
You get out of here.
I think Maya told me I needed to watch it.
Ah, that was a good movie.
Chicken Little's really good.
That was a very funny movie. Now when I watch it again, I'll think of Steve.
Well, guys,
I want chicken.
Everyone needs an animated film. That's where we're at today.
KFC used to do sandwiches called Chicken Littles.
Oh.
They were delicious.
All right, we've officially jumped the shark. We're there. The shark has now been jumped.
Jumped the shark.
No. It's like an expression, like when your show gets too crazy, like the plot of the show gets too wild, you've jumped the shark. Anyway, Emily.
No such thing here.
We're wrapping up, guys. We're going to go ahead and put a pin in it here as we kind of get ready to wrap up the episode. But really what we always do at the end is we kind of just talk about what we're looking forward to as we're ready to head into the weekend. Robert, now that the busiest, longest 6 months of your life are behind you, with the big wedding for the family, what are you going to do with your first weekend?
Visit my parents.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So they weren't able to make it, so I'm going to go down. My parents are aging, so it's always good to check in on them. And then I got some things to do around their house, so I'll spend some time doing that. I think the other side of the family has a graduation party, so the girls will be off.
It's the season.
Yeah, the girls will be off doing that. And I'll go down to see what mom and dad are up to.
Very cool. Well, I hope you enjoy that. I know that'll be a nice visit for you. Lil Wipey, what you up to?
I leave for Outer Banks tomorrow with my sister
and
her family.
Oh, going to hang out with the nephews?
Yeah.
All right, that's cool. Yeah. Have fun with that. I know they always enjoy their time with their aunt, Lil Wipey.
Thanks.
Steven, what you up to, man?
I think we're going to try to watch a movie this weekend. And
ooh.
The new How to Train
Living,
Your
Dragon. Living dangerously.
The How to Train Your Dragon. Because we were trying to go to the beach, but it doesn't look.
I'm like, woo!
I'm jealous.
Oh, we got a snort. We got a snort. It's on film.
I thought we were like, go to the beach or something. But well,
yeah,
watch a movie.
We wanted to
turn my TV on.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like a good weekend for that. So it's probably a better weekend for being trapped in a movie theater. So
yeah,
something like
that. Yeah, we're still. I think everyone's itching for like to get into summer right now. But spring is lingering
such a weird,
this year.
Weird
it's been
weather.
Yeah.
I hate to sound like a true dad, but we did need the rain. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful that we've had the rain.
Robert Heitzer would be so proud.
I am grateful that we've had the sky water the past couple days. It's been really nice. But I mean, you know what? I think that basically puts a pin in it, everyone. As always, we hope that you've enjoyed your time here with Everyone Needs a Spotter and that you found this podcast to be educational, informative, and or entertaining. And if you have found it to be, we just simply ask that you would make a referral or a recommendation to someone in your network. We know the multifamily crew. You guys are well connected and stay in touch with each other. So if you think there's someone that could benefit from our information, we would appreciate you referring them to become a listener to Everyone Needs a Spotter. If you ever have a subject or a topic that you would like to hear us discuss, you can email us at podcast@rmsfitness.com. And I think it would also be appropriate to acknowledge our two new podcast contributors at this point. We have Colby Cabrera, who's handling our video editing and posting for the video portion of the podcast. And we have Adriana Conway, who's handling audio production and social media content related to Everyone Needs a Spotter now. So we're very grateful to have them contributing. And really, that's it. So we'll go around the table one more time as we sign off. I am your host, Steve Heitzer. Grateful, as always, to be here. Stephen D.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
That was kind of soft, bro.
It was.
Do better next time.
I'll try.
Fearless leader, Robert Decker.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Despite the weather, enjoy life.
I will. Emily.
Have a great weekend and have a great summer if we don't get back to this table in another 3 months.
Oh, we will. We will. I got to go ahead and sign off before the guy starts cutting the tree down. He's back outside. This has been Everyone Needs a Spotter, and we look forward to catching up with you next time. Take care.